the doctrine of perseverance of the saints is strongly held, but greatly misunderstood. Some will use it in an extreme sense to say you can do whatever you want in your life, and somehow at the end it all figures out. Some use perseverance or eternal security, as most would call it today, as a mental strength. It's sort of a make-me-feel-good model, that in the end I have eternal life. Others will use it to ignore failing graces in their life that they're not cultivating as they should. Most, though, will base it on what they have done or the intention of their profession. So you would go and say, I'm struggling with my salvation. I question if I am saved. I'm doubting it. And they would say, well, did you really mean it when you prayed and asked Jesus into your heart? Which is, for several reasons, horrible theology, because we're never told to ask Jesus into our heart. And then we begin to look back and think, I think I meant it. I might have meant it. I believe I meant it. I don't know. I guess I'll say the prayer again, and this time really mean it. So we go through this vicious cycle that we would call it doubting your salvation. The date and time that you may have placed in your Bible of when you prayed and asked Jesus into your heart is not the reason for your perseverance. There's more to this doctrine. It's a rich doctrine, very beautiful. It's become very, very precious to me and others in the last 3 weeks. And so we, last week, just kind of began to lay a foundation of it. This week we'll begin to work through the confession in more detail. To begin with, though, in the London Baptist Confession of Faith, chapter 17 deals with this in three different paragraphs. We'll read the first paragraph this morning. Those God has accepted in the beloved, effectually called and sanctified by His Spirit, and given the precious faith of His elect, can neither totally nor finally fall from the state from a state of grace. They will certainly persevere in grace to the end and be eternally saved, because the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. Therefore, He still brings about and nourishes in them faith, repentance, love, joy, hope, and all the graces of the Spirit that lead to immortality. Even though many storms and floods arise and beat against them, yet these things will never be able to move the elect from the foundation and rock to which they are anchored by faith. The felt sight of the light and love of God may be clouded and obscured from them for a time through their unbelief and the temptations of Satan, yet God is still the same. They will certainly be kept by the power of God for salvation, where they will enjoy their purchased possession, for they are engraved on the palms of His hands, and their names have been written in the book of life from all eternity. This is the first foundational aspect of this doctrine that the confession is going to begin to establish for us. There's two other paragraphs that we'll eventually get to and work through that create more of a practical outflow of this first paragraph. And we look at this first paragraph, we're going to divide it into three different sections as we work through this. First of all, we'll look at the section that says, those God has accepted in the beloved, effectually called and sanctified by His Spirit, and given the precious faith of His elect, can neither totally nor finally fall from a state of grace. Then the second way we break this down is in the middle portion of this, where it reads, they will certainly persevere in grace to the end and be eternally saved, because the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. Therefore, He still brings about and nourishes in them faith, repentance, love, joy, hope, and all the graces of the Spirit that lead to immortality. Even though many storms and floods arise and beat against them, yet these things will never be able to move the elect from the foundation and rock to which they are anchored by faith. The felt sight of the light and love of God may be clouded and obscured from them. Then the third portion that we'll break it down into is, for a time, through their unbelief and the temptations of Satan, yet God is still the same. They will certainly be kept by the power of God for salvation, where they will enjoy their purchased possession, For they are engraved on the palms of his hands, and their names have been written in the book of life from all eternity. I read this week, a friend of mine had posted a tweet. I don't know, they keep changing what it is, but he posted a comment about throughout the trials and struggles of life, and though at times I do not measure up to the fullness of the grace that God has given to me, in the end I have faith and belief in the strength of his salvation. And then another friend of mine commented on it, well, you must not be a Calvinist then if you believe that. And then I responded with, let's read our confession of faith, O you who do not know what you're talking about. And I put this chapter in there. The perseverance of the saints never started with the saints, is not kept by the saints, and it will not be endured to the end because of the saints. This is built upon Christ and what he has done for us. Look in Ephesians chapter 1, we'll read the first 14 verses. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us, in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that he who were for the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. As Paul is writing to this church and he begins his introduction in chapter 1, this passage gets used to teach several different doctrines. But the whole purpose of this, he's giving them assurance. He's giving them comfort. He's giving them strength in their Christian life. Those God has accepted into the beloved. If you look at the confession, the very first statement of that paragraph, those God has accepted in the beloved. The beloved here is capitalized, and the beloved here is Jesus Christ. So with the confession, when they wrote it, they're discussing this and they're bringing this forth. They're saying those who are accepted in Christ. You'll find that phrase in Christ throughout the first couple chapters of Ephesians. Everything that a believer is because they are in Christ. All blessings that God brings to us, he brings to us through the mediation, the intercession of Jesus Christ. We have no relationship with the Father apart from Christ. He's the mediator of the new covenant. He's the one that has reconciled me to the Father. He's the one that has restored me. So all great blessings, this truth, this doctrine of perseverance of the saints is built upon and possible because of the work of Jesus Christ. This term beloved shows acceptance, endearment. One definition it gave, it meant to welcome, to love dearly, to be well pleased with. We are told in Ephesians here in verse number 6 that we are accepted. Look at this. To the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. The grace that God has blessed us with is made possible through Jesus Christ, through the beloved. The idea here in Ephesians is how we understand the confession to mean that the beloved is Christ and we are accepted into him. So the very beginning of perseverance of the saints, the very beginning of what we would call in a modern day sense eternal security has to deal with in the beloved, in Christ. I do not have eternal security because somehow I performed well today. My eternal security is not based upon how well I read my Bible this week or how well I represented Christ this week. My eternal security is based in the beloved that God, through the Son, has blessed me with perseverance of the saints. As I sat there yesterday, we spent the whole morning from about 7:30 to about 8:30 and then wait closer to 10:30, 11 before we left. And I actually remember this one daughter says, there's not, the nurse came and said, this is a peaceful process. She goes, there's nothing peaceful about death. And it's not, it's ugly. You're just sitting there, you're talking, you're joking. We actually ordered pizza for dinner. And I think it was Kim's like, it's kind of weird we're having a pizza party as we all just sit here around him. He's unconscious, you know, but, and you're just waiting. And then you look at him and you watch him breathe. And I think his breathing's getting a little slower. And you start to, well, we're getting closer. And at one point, Dorothy says, can you feel a pulse? I said, you know what? He'd be pretty upset me putting my hand around his neck. So, I mean, just, you go through this whole process, long, drawn out day. What purpose is any of it apart from the understanding that all who come to Christ, he will receive. And all that the Father gives him, he will raise on the last day. That is the perseverance of the saint. That is eternal security. That is the foundation, the truth here in the beloved, because I am in Christ, because I am found in Christ. The Father then bestows graces and blessings upon me. The idea here in Ephesians is how we understand the confession to mean that the beloved is Christ. The first and only reason for perseverance of the saints rests in the work of Christ, not in the saint. Again, verse 3 of this chapter, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. This is all predicated on the work of Christ in the covenant between the Father and Son before the world even began. We have in 2 Timothy 1, 8 and 10, again, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who saved us according and called us according called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Nothing in that passage puts the emphasis on the saint. It's on Christ. It's on the covenant between the Father and Son, and then the work of the Son that he has given, the things he has given us in Christ. The appearing of our Savior is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ that abolished death and brought life and immortality. Keach, in his book on the subject of the display of the glorious grace, gives us this. All promises were made first to Christ and first fulfilled to him. And all acts of God's love terminate first upon him and come to us through him, who has made us accepted in the beloved. Had not God's love been fixed first on him as mediator, it had never run out to us. All covenant blessings are in him. Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Christ as our head is the repository or seat of all divine blessings. Christ is the jewel of the riches, or the sum of all things in the covenant, as life, righteousness, pardon, peace, and he that receives this jewel receives all things with him. All of it is because of Christ and the relationship he has with the Father. All blessings that would flow to us start between the Father to Christ and then come down to us. All security comes from the Father to Christ, then to us. We are accepted into this beloved. Shows not only the means by but our standing in Christ. Look in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 4. Being accepted in the beloved is just not the means, but it represents our standing today. But God, being rich in mercy because of great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, my standing as a believer, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This idea, the perseverance of the saints, rests in not just the means, but our standing is in Christ. And because our standing is in Christ, he has set us up in the heavenly places. And because of this, he's done this so that he can show to us his immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ. We're seated with Christ. Our standing is in heaven with Christ for the purpose of God showing us his eternal blessings upon us through Christ. Everything God has done, God's purposes are always good, just, and right. All that he does is for our confirmation into the image of the Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Father has not chosen us upon any merit found in us, but in the love for his Son and the eternal purposes of God. Just the very beginning, he says, those who are accepted in the beloved, those who are accepted in Christ. The only way to be accepted by the Father is in Christ. The confession begins right away, making this powerful statement of salvation. Those that have been accepted, you say, how do I know if I've been accepted? Because John tells us all that come to Christ, he will not cast out. And not only will he not cast them out, he will not lose any that the Father has given him. But this great promise that he will raise it on the last day. The purpose for which we persevere The purpose for which we continue is to the praise of the glory of God. Back in chapter 1, verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of the truth of the gospel of your salvation and believed in him, you are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. The purpose of our perseverance is to the praise of his glory. 2 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The entire doctrine of perseverance of the saints is built upon this opening statement, those whom God has accepted in the beloved. Those whom God has accepted in the beloved. It doesn't say those who had some magical experience. It doesn't say those who had this list of good works. It doesn't say that it's based somehow upon those that had a more sincere profession of faith. It says it's based on those whom God has accepted in the beloved. Go to John chapter 6 in closing. John chapter 6, verse 34. They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe." And here we see this beautiful union of Father and Son. All that the Father gives me will come to me. I once heard a guy say, well, if you hold to the doctrines of grace, you're saying someone might want to be saved and they're not part of the doctrines of grace, they can't be saved. We've never said that because that would deny this passage. All who come to Christ, all who come to Christ, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. The perseverance in verse 37 is not based on those who come and how well they perform. It says, those who come to me, I will receive them and I will never cast them out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. This beautiful picture, just the beginning, those accepted in the blood, those accepted in Christ. All who come to Christ will be received. All who believe on Christ will be received, and he will secure them, and he will raise them up on the last day. We may not understand all of the journey that they have to partake in the sovereignty of God. We may not understand all the ups and downs and the valleys and the struggles and the difficulties and the questions that the believer goes through. Someone asked me, you think someone could doubt Christ and be saved? Peter denied him 3 times, my friend. He didn't just deny him, he openly cursed his name. The truth is, my perseverance is found in this great truth of the relationship between the Father and Son, which our confession so beautifully spells out and we'll begin to work through even more next week. May he give us grace and wisdom and understanding for all that he does. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your love, for your faithfulness to us when we haven't been faithful to you. Thank you for your mercy to us when we have not been merciful to others. Thank you for your kindness towards us and your patience with us when we've not had the same. Father, I am thankful you're not a God who's manipulated by my will. I'm thankful, God, that you are sovereign. You are omnipotent. You are omniscient. I'm glad the strength of you, your ability, your desires are not somehow made possible or thwarted by my feelings for the day or my opinions of the day. I'm thankful, Father, that you're steadfast, you're immovable, that you're in covenant with your Son, and that your Son sits at your right hand making intercession for us daily and nightly. Father, may this understanding of your acceptance of us into the beloved embolden us and encourage us to live to your praise and your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.